What's up, y'all? What's up, y'all? This is the Purple House, and tonight we got a small little panel. Tonight it's me and my boy Cal. What's going on, Calvin?
Not much. It's been a kind of a slow day.
Oh yeah, that's
it's
what
a Sunday.
I think.
Some people were excited because if I'm not mistaken, football season started today.
All righty. Dun, 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 dun.
I think the New Orleans Saints played a game today.
The New Orleans. The New Orleans.
I'm sorry, New Orleans Saints.
No, it's New Orleans. That's how you could tell the people who not from here.
Yeah.
From the people who are here. Who are here is New Orleans. It's three syllable. But the people who are like not from here is New Orleans. You know.
I'm like, New Orleans? They say, yeah, you're not from here, are you?
Right.
No, I'm not actually, no.
You got to be an Orlean, not an Arlene.
I just say Nola.
Right, Nola. Some people say that. But anyway, I mean, how was your Sunday so far, sir?
Very chill, very relaxed. I did some writing, listened to some music, talked to my family.
Mm-hmm.
Watched two of my favorite movies.
Which one? I think I seen it on Facebook. You was watching the Jennifer Lopez movies. And don't get me wrong, I like the Jennifer Lopez.
The Wedding Planner.
Yes, that was a good one.
And also
Maximo.
Maximo was cute.
Maximo.
And My Best Friend's Wedding.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so yeah, two of my
favorites. That's what's up. I think my favorite movie is Misery. anything by Stephen King I like. But tonight we got two topics that we're going to talk about. One of them is...
I think it's a very controversial, very touchy topic.
It's taboo.
Should be very, very, very taboo. And kind of, if you want to be honest, it kind of falls back into the show we had about fetishes, because some people would consider it a fetish. Should pedophilia be considered a sexual orientation? Because there are people who are arguing now that, much like homosexuality, transgender, what have you, that pedophilia should be now considered a sexual orientation and not a, you know, mental disorder, or it should be legalized.
Now, when you say, see, the thing about that to me, I think when you say pedophilia,
mm-hmm. It just sounds bad.
I think it's bad, but I wouldn't want it to be something considered as a sexual orientation.
Yeah.
You know, I really think that pedophilia has such a strong background, you know, that even for people, like we were speaking about it before we started the show tonight, even the people who have been down that road, I feel they have such a bad name when learning the error of their ways. Like, you know, when it comes down to, you know, pedophilia, you know, people get that, what's the law? The sexual...
Age of consent, or...
No, when they come out of jail and they have the cards.
Oh, the sex offender registry?
The sex offenders registration. So when, you know, like, when they become sex offenders because of pedophilia, sometimes it's not under that law. What if it's because you're of age and that person is like a year under or a couple of months under, but because it's considered a couple of months under that proper age, they still get rolled up as sexual offense.
Well, yes, I think in instances like that, an exception should be made, but this clearly isn't even along the same lines. These are people who are sexually attracted to children. And when I say children, I mean kids from ages anywhere as young as probably 2 or 3 up to the age of 15.
And that's the part that blows my mind, though. Like, okay, and I hate to use this as an example, but like my good old homeboy, Michael Jackson, may he rest in peace. if you're an adult, okay, and you turn around and you have this thing for a minor, or let's even go below minor, an adolescent, mm-hmm. which is like within that age of...
Yeah, adolescent is a...
Kid to what?
It's like
10,
it's
11.
Like from, I want to say 11 to 15, 16.
Right. Yeah. So if you start, how can you connect emotionally? You know what I'm saying? How can you connect spiritually or even mentally with the mind of a child?
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Of, you know, you being the person who knows right from wrong to want to touch or play with or fondle or even, I guess, try to have sex with a kid or a child when they don't even know what's right and wrong.
Right.
You know, in my mind, I feel like that pushes them into making choices in life that they could have made different.
Right.
You know, or it can totally turn them into the next rapist, serial killer, mm-hmm. you know, because of their minds start to go into that entrapment phase because, you know.
It's interesting that you say that because when we did the up close and personal episode with me, and I was very open and candid about certain things that happened to me in my past.
Mm-hmm.
I did open up about having been molested growing up.
Right.
But I had a best friend, and she had two sons, and I told her about it, you know, what mm-hmm. happened to me. And she was just like, oh my gosh, God, I'm so sorry that happened to you. And she trusted me around her sons, which I really appreciated.
Right.
However, her mom, when she told her mom about what happened to me, she was like, well, aren't you worried that since Calvin was molested and abused, that he's going to do the same thing to your boys? And my best friend, she defended me. She was like this, absolutely not.
Right.
And what I tell people is, why would I want to do something to someone
that caused you so much pain?
I would never want to do that. So I think some people just, I don't know, their mind automatically goes to, oh, well then, just because it happened to them, they're going to do it. No, don't get me wrong. There are some people that do fall down, you know, follow that
path. Rabbit hole, yeah.
But, yeah.
Like even with me, you know, like, growing up, my mom had a nursery. And she raised kids that were, like, from 6 months to 4 years old.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the thing about that is, you know, I've been this way for a very long time. You know, I've been trans. I've went down the gay road. I wasn't ridiculed or beaten or anything for it. But because me and my mom had such a connection with kids that, you know, even in church being brought up, you know, I was with the kids. And when the adults decided to drop off, you know, from being the leadership roles in certain things that we had that was involved in church, you know, because it was a kid's, you know, function or a kid's program, I would take charge or whatever. Well, I never got, well, I think I haven't, but I never got, like, ridiculed for, okay, well, oh, Tracy's gay and, you know, I don't know if I want, you know, him or her around my kids. You know, my mom right. raised these kids from babies. The thing in my mind is, I would never want to do that to a child.
Exactly.
Like, this is a, you know, it's a baby or, you know, like I said, it's a kid. This is their stage in life where these things are being soaked and sponged and knowledge that's being consumed into their minds.
Mm-hmm.
Why sit there and taint that? You know, I thought as far as me like growing up and helping my mom, helping my mom with these kids, you know, it was a way to show them that not all of the stereotypes that y'all put out there are going to be the same ones that are out here handling the business the right way. You do have maybe some gays or transgenders that may fall, like you say, down a rabbit hole. Mm-hmm. But there's still a large majority of others that are on the right path. Like I said, you know, earlier, I would love to have a child that was brought into this world where I could be able to teach him and her, or her, the rights and the wrongs. As a boy, he should know how to respect the girl. He should know how to carry himself as a man. As a girl, she should know how to be a lady and to demand respect and to understand that, you know, she is who she is and live in her strength, you know. But so much of like media, you know, and outsiders who are outside of those boxes looking in, they go straight to that stereotype, you know what I'm saying, of like, oh, okay, well, he's a sissy or she's a lesbian, so let me watch my child around that person, not knowing what that person even went through.
Exactly.
You know, like you said, just because you was abused don't mean that you go into the mindset of wanting to abuse someone else.
Yeah. I think it depends on the mindset of the person. If you're a strong person, a person who absolutely hated it and despised having had to go through something like that, then you definitely are more likely to not want to do that to anybody.
Right. You know, and another thing about that as well that kind of like blows my mind is the fact of that, like I was talking to you earlier about these new cases about the priests that are molesting these kids and the Boy Scouts that are molesting these kids and everything.
Which has been going on for years.
For years, right. My thing about that is it's okay for this to go down that no one speaks of, which is such a taboo.
Right.
But it's okay for you to constantly bring your child to go to that same church.
Right.
To be in that same event with other kids.
And but really quickly, the definition for pedophilia is the sexual attraction to children who have not yet reached puberty.
All right. Okay.
So which means they have no concept, no mental understanding of anything sexual.
Right.
So it boggles my mind how anybody could think that classifying pedophilia as a sexual orientation, like being gay or straight or bisexual or transgender, that is, you know,
right.
I can't understand.
Or like, you know, like, oh, hey, well, I'm gay. And then another one come in, oh, I'm straight. And then another one come and say, oh, I'm pedophilia. And everybody going to be like,
at least if you're lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, you have the mental knowledge. You know, hey, this is what I want to do. This is who I am. A child who has not reached puberty doesn't really understand anything yet because their body hasn't begun to change. And it's just crazy. I don't
feel like if you want something like that, tell your partner to shave that coonie cat hair or that dick hair and make it bald. Because I don't like that. To me, that's gross. When they cut all the hair off from around their bird and stuff.
Sometimes some people need to.
Well, I mean, don't get me wrong. I don't want Bushwick Bill. I don't want lamb chops play along. You know what I'm saying? But I mean, at least like trim it up or something.
Some nice manscaping.
Yeah, manscaping and womanscape. You know what I mean?
Well, a man
don't want to lick that vajayjay with no cuckabucks on there.
Something
you know,
like the natural look.
Yeah. Work the natural look, Adam Sandler. Yeah.
No, but I tried it one time. I was like this. No, I look like I'm...
Right? Like, what about razor burns and all that?
No, you gotta use it. If you don't use a...
Yeah, get like a clipper. Yeah, way, use some clippers and like, you know, put a guard on it and give it like a one, you know, or something on that board. I just really think that, you know, choosing a child who doesn't know right from wrong is such a bad thing. You know, I feel this is our future. You know what I'm saying? Right. And if we don't take it as take into some seriousness of that, the old saying that it takes a village to raise a child is definitely true and should still matter in this world today. You know, we turn around and we take our minds off of the most simplest things to worry about these complicated situations that totally end up playing themselves out in the future. That we forget that little Tommy Doyle is sitting in the back watching television, learning how to put guns together and going out here and going to blow up schools and everything.
Right.
You know, we take our attention away from these kids so much, you know, that they don't know where to seek attention from. And then I think that also plays a role in it too, because if they're not getting the attention from where it's needed, then they tend to seek that attention from the wrong places. Mm-hmm. That's why we have these young kids who don't know how to write their names, but they know how to go pull a gun in a gang. Right. They know how to rob a building, you know, but they don't know how to write their name in cursive.
Yeah, which by the way, I'm glad they put that back in schools. I think they should put cursive back in school.
Yeah, I think so too.
But
learn to write your name.
Yeah. You mentioned... Damn, what did you... I was going to say something. I just... That whole cursive thing made me lose my train of thought.
You know...
I hope it takes a village to raise a child.
Yeah, it does.
And then when the children aren't getting the attention that they need from home, that opens the door for pedophiles.
Right.
To swoop in and lure them in with candy or toys and stuff
to give
like
them
that.
Something they like. Right.
I mean,
right.
If you have to lure somebody somewhere to do something, then that's not a...
They got Grindr for that.
Well, yeah, you lure them with the torso pig.
Right. I remember I was watching this show with that was on Oprah. You know, I love me some Oprah.
Mm-hmm.
But I was watching this show, and it taught me something that even though I've learned it from her having this interview with a pedophile, but it works in everyday life as well. We have to groom our people that are in our lives and the people who are going to also be in our kids' lives or our next generation's lives. Like the guy was saying, because she asked, well, what is grooming? And grooming was like to do a study on likes and dislikes of another subject. You know that if you sit here and you watch this kid and you see that he goes to the store and every day he gets sour apple blow pops.
Mm-hmm.
He goes to the mall and he always look at the window at this particular type of shoe. And, you know, he wants these particular types of things. So what they do is they take the time out to groom them and study them so that when it's their chance to strike, which is during the time that attention from our villages is totally needed, when that kid starts to look elsewhere, he turns into this God, per se,
right,
to give him all of the things that he couldn't get from anywhere else. And it's not really the attention. The attention comes with the gifts. Because if I look everywhere for a Dooney and Burke purse, and a dude pop up and say, oh, hey, can I talk to you for a second? Because I had this Dooney and Burke purse that, you know, my wife didn't want, and I just wanted to find someone who I thought was very, very deserving of it. Hell yeah, I want that Dooney and Burke. That's Dooney, the one I've been looking for all year.
It's
still in season. You know, I want that. So
don't you wonder how they know they want that? How
right? You know, or not even how? Why is he offering it
to me?
You know,
right?
And that's one of the big things. Like, we worry about all of the other questions, all of the other W questions, the who, what, when's, and where's, but we never go to why. And that's a big problem, you know. I just guess that we're not paying attention to our kids enough. You know, I sit here, also I look at, you know, the new generation of parents.
Well, yeah.
You know, they don't play parent. I remember as a child also, my mom used to always tell me, one thing you better not forget, I'm not your friend. I'm right. your mama.
And I think nowadays it's too many parents wanting to be
friends.
You gotta be either or. I'm lucky to say that now I'm at the age I am, my mom is my friend.
Right.
And my mom. But growing up, ooh, there were some times when I was like, I hate you.
Right.
You know, because, you know, she would do something or say something I didn't like or didn't want her to say or do. But now, you know, I can say that she's my friend. But it takes a while to get to that point. So you shouldn't make it a point to try to be your child's friend.
Right, right.
But no, I'm sure everyone's heard of the show or even seen episodes of Law & Order Special Victims Unit
mm-hmm.
with Benson and Stabler. They have tons of episodes about stuff like this and the whole grooming thing.
Uh-huh.
And when you were talking about it, it reminded me of that show, and it also reminded me of the Michael Jackson documentary, Leaving Neverland.
Yeah.
Because the guy said that Michael Jackson groomed them and, you know, into...
And oh, yeah, Michael Jackson was a player.
Let me tell you something. When I watched that, because I believe the boys. Let me put it that way. People probably hate me now or hate for saying that, but I believe those boys, because being somebody who has been, you know, molested or whatever, I can sit back and say, you know what? That's the same thing that happened to me. So I can relate to it.
Right, right.
So that's why I believe that Michael. Now, to the extent that they say he did it, some of the stuff they said Michael said, I don't know. Because I just
right. don't see Michael Jackson. Yeah, I don't see Michael Jackson saying, bend over and hold your ankles.
I don't see Michael saying that. Can you?
Yeah,
I don't.
You know, drop down and let me see you shake a tail feather. You know, but also the thing about it is, and I think this is where the priests and the Boy Scout leaders get away with it. I guess a lot of people, like when it came down to looking at that documentary,
mm-hmm.
I feel a lot of people looked at it as Michael Jackson being Michael Jackson.
Right.
You can't look at it as Michael Jackson being Michael Jackson. You have to look at it as Mr. Jackson who stayed down the street.
Right.
As the regular, average human being. And that's where a lot of people misconstrue and want to say, oh, well, you know, it never could have been Michael Jackson.
But let me ask you this now. Sorry.
Mm-hmm.
Let me ask you this though. Realistically, though, I mean, if it was Michael Jackson and Michael Jackson was touching you, I mean, come on, it's Michael Jackson. I mean, I can kind of understand why they wouldn't say anything, the grooming and everything aside.
Right.
It's Michael Jackson. It's Michael Jackson. At this time, Michael Jackson was like the man. He was like the king of pop.
Yeah.
So, I mean, would I have said anything? Probably not. But, you know,
as a kid or as a parent?
As a kid, I probably wouldn't. Even as a parent, though, I mean, because some of the parents had to have it. You're not gonna let your child spend a weekend with. I don't care.
Right.
Some of the parents.
Oh, not only this. You gonna take my child
mm-hmm.
and go stay in another hotel?
You gonna take all.
You gonna take. All us,
right.
And we all gonna be in that same hotel. Not no, it don't matter about if okay, it's Michael Jackson. Michael, go ahead. We know who you are. We know you love the kids. Go ahead and go stay at Ritz-Carlton while we stay over here at Holiday Inn. That's two blocks away. No, and you don't have no other kids with you. No,
I was watching that whole Leaving Neverland and. this one boy, his parents went to a completely different state, and his parents let him stay with Michael Jackson for that. The time, I don't know if it was maybe a weekend or a week. Either way, it was inappropriate. Michael
right.
Jackson shouldn't have been left alone with that child. But
yeah. And then not only that, this is the part where it shakes up a lot of stuff. If you take one child and they do a lawsuit on you mm-hmm. that first time.
Right.
Why bring
thank you.
My child to be there so it could go a second time?
Yeah, I wouldn't even, I don't care who it is.
Right. Right. And that's how I feel. That's how I really feel about that. See, and that's the whole thing of why I say that it really does take a village mm-hmm. to raise a child, because Michael Jackson could have been, in our terms, that priest.
Right.
It
could have been
as much as Father John has done prayed for us, I don't believe that he has touched my child. Right. But at the same time, you're looking at him as Father John. You're not looking at him as Sexy John Cena.
Right. Yeah.
Which, you know, John, you could touch me whenever. You know, but you don't look at it like that. Or you don't look at, okay, well, you know, Mr. Jenkins or whatever, you know, who's the head of the Boy Scout troop, is touching your child because he's been praised so much as a Boy Scout leader.
But I always wonder, though, why is it so hard, so difficult for some parents, like if the child did come forward and say, hey, mom, dad, such and such did this to me, and sometimes it's difficult for parents to believe that or to comprehend that it could happen.
Right.
I'm going to believe my child before anybody else. I don't
right,
care.
Of course.
My child could be the baddest, you know, the baddest child. They could be the cutting up in school all the time. But if my child came to me and says such and such touching me or doing this to me, I'm going to believe them.
Right.
I'm going to believe them.
Of course. You know, first off, I don't think that it's about the child being believed or not. I really think, like I said earlier, it's about the attention. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Like, I remember, like, watching kids, like, grow up and around their parents. And, you know, sometimes a kid will come up to the mom and say, oh, well, mom, I made a mistake and I said this. And right before they can finish saying what they're saying, the parent is like, go back in your room.
Right.
You know, go sit down somewhere.
Right.
I don't want to hear it. You know what I'm saying? Because they have what they think are more important things to deal with.
Right.
That, like I said, in the future, it totally fixes itself. And all that time that you worried about that important situation, it totally comes back to that. You done forgot all about that. Your child done came to you four times mm-hmm. to tell you that they set the house on fire and now mm-hmm. the house is in flames.
Right.
You know, like my thing is, don't let your house catch on fire.
And don't let them see you eat the banana.
Right. Right? And don't let them see you eat the banana. But we will definitely, y'all, be right back with the Purple House. Calvin, give me that track.
Hey, this is Calvin, and you're listening to The Purple House on Anchor FM.
Why you playing? I'm about the peace, but I can show you.
What's up, y'all? We're back with the Purple House. This is Tracy, and I got Calvin sitting here chilling with me. Which y'all just heard was one of our up-and-coming artists, Zay. He is, like, really a great guy. He's out here trying to put some great positive influences out here into the world. I think y'all should definitely check him out on SoundCloud. Which is Zay
Baby.
Zay Riggy.
Babe. No, Zay Baby.
That's SoundCloud. What it is on SoundCloud?
Yeah.
Well, Zay Baby. But it's all good, Zay. We give you some shout outs. Hope you check this out tonight. Also we have on our next topic, which is the Versus battle against Gladys
Knight and Miss Patti LaBelle.
Now, I like both of them. You know, yeah. I like leaving on Midnight Train to Georgia.
Georgia?
It's a Georgia, honey.
You got to say it that way, Georgia.
You know, but in
but
my...
You know, when Patti started getting to that right, you know, start hitting that key.
When Patti kicks off a shoe, it's on the pop.
And she started to... move them shoulders like she about to take off.
Mm-hmm. See, my thing is, I think both of them are great. I really think both of them are great. I think that they're both all winners on a seesaw.
Yeah, and I think when I heard this going to be Versus, I mean, in my opinion,
Patti was going to kill
you. Okay, we know that. Yeah, we know that.
Yeah.
But I think, you know, they're two friends who've known each other for so long.
Right.
And they respect each other. And they just, you know, it was just a playful back and forth.
Right. And both of them made great music in the industry. You know, Patti had tied up with some If You Ask Me To.
Yeah.
Gladys Knight had come catch you with Love Overboard.
Love Overboard, yes.
You know, so, I mean, they both are great. I think that they both could cook their asses off. Excuse my language, because that's Patti and Gladys. You know, you can still get an ass whooping. You know, but, I mean, here is some music from all of them. Wait, what is this?
Gladys Knight, Patti LaBelle, and Dionne Warwick.
And Dionne Warwick.
They did Karen White's...
Superwoman. As a video?
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Let me hear some of that.
Oh, I gotta turn it up. Wait, hurry up, I turn it up. I remember performing this on Oprah Winfrey Show.
Come on, Big Hell. No.
I wanna make sure.
Come on, Dion.
What happened to Miss Dion?
Yo, this is Thomas. You're listening to Purple House on Anchor FM.
Baby. Baby.
I can't believe you never heard that.
I have never heard this version of this song sung by this trio. That was amazing. I almost had tears.
I liked it because we all know that song.
Right.
And they put their own little twist on it. But it wasn't so far off that you were like this, anything they do, you're going to like.
For a long time, I noticed that a lot of people didn't know Tyrese's song, Lately. Have I told you I love you?
Right.
Well, you know, Anita Baker did it, and it was a totally the same song.
But she did her.
But she did it in her jazzy form.
I'm gonna have to hear that one.
You didn't know that?
Mm-mm.
Oh, baby, yeah, you know she wore that out. But okay, if I had to choose between Patty and Gladys,
okay,
I say Patty.
I'm going to have to go with Patty, too. Don't get me wrong. I love me some Gladys, but I'm going to have to go with Patty.
My
mother, they Patty lovers.
Right. Even in this song with Superwoman, what made me respect Patty in this song was that she pulled back.
Mm-hmm.
And you know Patty could have took this and right.
It would have been Patty's song.
Yeah.
They would have just been featured.
Right, right. But yes, you know, for what they did, I totally think that was awesome. Kudos to both of you guys. I love both of you guys' music. Patti LaBelle, you are an amazing woman, and you have such an amazing talent, as well as you also, Gladys Knight. Y'all have brought not just my mom's generation from darkness to light, but my generation as well. And I thank God for you guys being in our lives, you know, to teach us that throughout all adversities, love is still the answer.
And Patty, I want some of that fried chicken.
Right? And them collard greens. Well, both of them could cook.
Yeah.
And it could bake too. You know, them patty pies, baby. Them patty pies ain't no joke. And I know doggone well, my grandma could make some good sweet potato pies. Lord, may she rest in peace. But I don't know, Patty, you putting something up in there, like some nutmeg, some crack, something.
It's
sprinkled on top of them pies that make them taste so good. For real. But you didn't hear the Anita Baker version of this song. Uh-huh. This is Anita Baker's Lately,
which was
originally performed by Tyrese. Oh, I love Anita Baker, baby.
Body soul.
It's so jazzy, you know, but that's a genre, you know.
She's coming out with some new music.
She came out with something?
She
needs
to.
Right. And then now that you know that this is a Tyrese song, you can hear his version at the same time playing in your head.
If I had heard it, but I know I'm like this. Okay. I mean, I would be like this. That song sounds so familiar.
Uh-huh.
But I wouldn't have known.
Right, yeah, it took me a minute. I was like, wait, I know this song. Mm-hmm. And then I played Tyrese's album. And I said, oh my God, Anita Baker did this song. Yeah. And I think that's so awesome because, like, nowadays, we always go to the older generation to get our songs from, right. And we'll remake those. And it was so nice to see that, like, with the trio, with Gladys, Dion, and Patty, how they went to their younger generation, right. And remade theirs, and Anita Baker as well, you know, to do something like that, I think it's really, really awesome. And own it, and live in it, which is totally, in my mind, such a great thing to pay an homage to the younger generation, the younger music, the younger crowd, you know, because sometimes getting crunk and wanting to buck jump and, you know, what it is, crip walk and all that shit. Yeah, you got to sometimes pull back from that, you know what I'm saying? And realize that, you know, hey, we have...
Hanging out in the bando, right?
Right, hanging out in the bando, you know. But we do have youthful music, or what I would say, a new generation of music that is really, really well. You know, it's really great as well. Like, don't get me wrong. I totally commend... Cardi B, Megan Thee Stallion, you know, that they are what female rappers are starting to, you know what I'm saying, starting to take in and live in their word. It's not because they talk about their vajayjays or,
but they're free
you
to
know,
do that now.
Now, right. Instead of being constantly looked at as a hoe, like a Lil' Kim or Foxy Brown or Trina, which don't get me wrong as well. I think that there were great rappers as well, you know. But it was so much more harder for them to come out because they wasn't like MC Light.
Right.
You know, they wanted to talk about, hey, well, guys could talk about fucking us and, you know, digging in our pussies and stuff. So let's talk about our pussies and they did.
Right, but we have to give credit to the first, I guess, woman who talked about stuff like that was kind of like risque. I want to say Miss Gracie Jones.
Yes.
And I'm not going to necessarily say she was the first, but
I love a Grace, baby. I love a good Grace.
Pull up to the bumper.
Oh, yes. You know, because you know Patra redid that song. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. One of the best Jamaican reggaeton, you know, genre of music.
Gosh, I was in 10th grade when Patra pulled up.
When Patra came out. Patra was hard. I jumped in there being on that number. I was like, yeah, Patra, you know. I come in the call and then they go high. I was like, yeah, you know, she had me all sweaty and shit.
I know what she was saying, but you know,
yeah, I knew what she was saying.
What is she saying? But I like it.
I like, yeah, you know, but like I say, kudos to you guys. Y'all did very, very well. Patty, in my mind, you killed it. Gladys, I ain't gonna say you ain't kill it. You killed it as well. You just don't kick your shoes off like Patty. And Patty, every time she kicked her shoes off, we know we was about to go to church.
Mm-hmm.
So, definitely kudos to you guys. So, I guess since we like really rocking it like this and we're doing so well with it, let's go ahead and do some music on the low and do some remarks. You got anything that you would like to send out to the wonderful people?
Well, like always, I want to give a shout out to my family back home in Washington, D.C. My mom, my sisters, my brother, my
DMV.
Dad. I miss y'all a lot. I love y'all. And I hope to see y'all soon.
Yes, I hope so too. By the time they get down here, we should have like 2 mansions, a house, and a yacht.
Yes.
The only thing I want to say, y'all, is love one another the way you want to be loved. In the words of RuPaul, y'all, you can't love yourself, then how in hell can you love somebody else? Can I get an amen?
Amen.
And shout out to my mom's mom. I love you. 504 is in the house. DMV is in the house. And Purple House Paga Edition is up and running strong, y'all. Thank y'all for listening. If y'all want to hit me up, y'all can hit me up on Facebook, Tracy Alexander, or y'all can hit me up on Instagram, Tracy the Sex Kitten. Definitely check out the store, Equal to None. That's equaltonone504.com. Cal?
And for me, always on Twitter at @JoieDeVie_79. That's @JoieDeVie_79. Or my Facebook, C. Nathaniel Harris.
That's what's up. And mine is Tracy Alexandre. That is TRACIEALEXANDER. No. So, y'all, yeah, we'll see y'all next time at the Purple House. Cal, you all ready?
Right. You're right.
Give us that track. I like that one, too.